Let's go into the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive clarity this morning as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. At the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Let's try to cover a few grounds this month or in today's teaching so that we can know what to do next. Look at Matthew 3. We've been looking at the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And we're trying to examine what the name of Jesus is really about. We're trying to see what God's word really says about the name of Jesus. Or what does it mean by the name of Jesus? Now, on Wednesday, we started looking at why did John go to Jordan? Remember that teaching? Why did John go to Jordan? And we're trying to give some answers to that. We're trying to see the importances of names or names of people. Importance of names of people. We looked at name of Abraham and the likes, Noah and all of you, all of that rather. Then we started looking at places and started with Jordan. Why did John go to Jordan? Are you in Matthew 3? Look at verse 13. Lovely. I love that response. It says, then cometh Jesus from where? So Jesus came from where? Galilee to where? Jordan. So Jesus came from where? Galilee to Jordan. Look at Matthew 4:12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. You see that? Where did he go to again? Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be what? Fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond where? Jordan, Galilee of what? Galilee of what? The Gentiles. Now look at verse 16. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Are we together? Now, Jesus from Galilee to where? To Jordan. Are we together? Jesus from Galilee to Jordan. Look at Matthew 28 now. Matthew 28. From Galilee to Jordan. From Jordan. He went to where? Galilee. You see that, right? What is it about Galilee? What is it about Galilee? So Matthew 28, verse 7. Now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the what? Dead. And behold, he goeth before you into where? Galilee. There shall you what? See him. Lo, I have told you. Are you here? Look at verse 10. But then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they should go into where? Galilee. And they shall what? See me. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into where? Galilee. Into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them to meet. So Jesus, before the baptism of John, came from Galilee to Jordan. Are you here? From Jordan back to Galilee. In the resurrection, he asked his disciples to meet him where? Galilee of what? Okay, you see that shortly. Look at Mark 16, 7. Similar to what we read in Matthew. Mark 16, 7. Look at Mark 16, verse 6. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye see Jesus of Nazareth, which was what? Crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. Now, but go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into where? Galilee. There shall you see him. So, in the Great Commission, so to say, he says they should meet in Galilee. Before going to Jordan, he says meet in Galilee. So, what we are doing today is to try to show the significance of geographical places. Abi? Geographical place or the names of geographical what places. So go back to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Yeah, you would realize that what places of geography have their theology. There is something they are pointing to. There is something they are showing. Look at Matthew 4, verse 15 again. We read that earlier. He says, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. It says, the people which sat in darkness saw what? Great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is what? Sprung up. Now that conversation was gotten from Isaiah. So hold Matthew 4. Go to Matthew 4. And hold Matthew 4 and go to Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Verse, look at verse 6. Matthew, Isaiah 42, are you there? It says, I, the Lord, have called thee in what? Righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for the what? Light of the what? Gentiles. To open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness. Did you see them that sit in darkness in Matthew 4? Galilee of the Gentiles, right? Them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Verse 8 now says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Is that for Moses? Is that for Moses' writing? Okay, lovely. It says, behold, the former things are come to pass, and the new things do I what? Declare. So it means that when you see Jesus amidst the Gentiles, it is that something new is about to happen. Are we here? When Bible tells in Matthew 4, it says the Galilee of the Gentiles. Right, who are Gentiles? Gentiles are people that who? Gentiles are people who the Israelite, the Israel nation, considers as what? Outcasts. Are we together? Are we together? But Jesus starts from where you will call the midst of the outcast, goes for baptism, returns back there. In the resurrection, I ask them to meet him back there. What does Isaiah tell you as prophecy? It means that, behold, the former things that come to pass, the new things do I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Is it sing unto the Lord a what? So there will be a new song because there's a new thing that is to be done. Are you here? So sing unto the Lord a new song and praise his name from the ends of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Are we together? So it means that Jesus going to Galilee, yeah, remember in the resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, what was the first accusation they gave to people who were speaking in tongues and interpretation? Are these not what? Are these not drunk? He now says, are these not Galileans? Are we here? Now, in the Hebrew culture, in the Jewish culture, they considered Galileans as the less what? Minorities. So, but Jesus will come from the group of the minorities. Are we here? Go to Jordan. Go back to the group of the minorities. Go through the death, the burial. In the resurrection, ask them to meet him in the group of the minorities. So it means that God is about to do something that will consider the minority as major people. All together. So God will not see minority as men will see minority. So God will see majority, and God will see minority. Whilst people will see minority in the people, God will see them as major people. Or God wants to do something that will include the minority into the what? Majority. Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? Are we here? So it means that Jesus, who is starting a ministry or asking his disciples to meet him in resurrection, there is something that is meant to happen, or there is something that is a message in what he is doing. What I mean is this, there's a theology behind his action. So he's trying to say that what man we call minority, Jesus actually comes for everybody. Are you here? Are you here? So Jesus will find himself on a Gentile tree. Are we together? Among criminals, among thieves. Are we here? Born in the manger, amongst the poor, ideally poor people, right? Manger, so to say, right? You know, I heard someone, let's not go there. So he was buried amongst the rich. We started that on Wednesday, right? He was buried amongst the rich. So he was born like into a poor family, so to say. died on the tree amongst criminals, buried amongst the rich. In the resurrection, asked them to meet them in the city of the minority. You see that? So it means that in all that Jesus was doing, there was a theology behind his actions. There was a reason. There's a message it is pointing to. So the gospel, write this here, you know, the gospel is for every class. The gospel is for every class. Both the criminals, both the thieves, both the poor, both the rich, both the masters, both the slaves. The gospel is for every class. Say the gospel is for every class. Right? So the Jewish people had in mind that they were the unique people of the world. Are we together? So Jesus had to break through that or break that from their mind. Jesus had to break that thought from their mind to make them understand that, in the real sense, this gospel you are personalizing as unique to you is for everybody. That's why you see Jesus going to the house of who you call a sinner. Are we together? And they will say, people were now accusing him for going to eat with sinners. Praise God. Praise God. Are we here? So, the question we are dealing with is, why did Jesus really go to Jordan? Which we gave a brief answer for, but we're trying to study the theology behind it. Now, it's interesting to know that Israel were already in the promised land without the promise. Hold on. When Joshua led them into the promised land, who led them into the promised land? So, when he did that, did that promised land become their heritage? Their inheritance? They began to live there. They were the owners of that place. Right? So, do you suppose that Jesus met them in that place? Right? Jerusalem. Israel. Canaan. Right? So, Jesus met them there. So, but in the real sense, they were in the promised land without the promise. Because the promise was not about their promised land. Are you here? In God's promised land is for everybody. That promised land they supposedly got to was for them. Are you following this morning? Yeah. So it means that they were in their so-called promised land, but they couldn't see the promise. Right? So in the real sense, in that promised land, did they have Egypt around them? Did they have Egypt around them? Had they left Egypt? So Egypt was far away, yet they were in Egypt. So they were in Egypt in the promised land. Did they physically leave Egypt? So had they physically left Egypt? So was Egypt far away from them? Yes. Was Egypt far away from them? Physically? Yes. Mentally? Spiritually? They needed someone to break them out of the bondage of Egypt. So, Egypt will be theology. Are we here? So, Egypt, despite being a geographical location, will have its what? Theology, representing what? Bondage of what? Sin and death. Are we together? Are we together? So, whilst Egypt will be considered as far, Egypt was actually near then. Right? Remember, at the time of the resurrection of Jesus, right, they were in the promised land, but they had an imposter in power. Remember? Right? That's why in Luke 24:21, they said, we have thought that he would be, it would have been him who will restore the kingdom of Israel back to us. Are we together? It's like you being in a country called Nigeria, and your president is not from Nigeria. Then they give birth to a man called Jesus, and you thought that that Jesus is the one that will take over the power from the president of Nigeria and give it back to a Nigerian. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? So, in the midst of all of this happening, John the Baptist shows up. Then what does he do? He goes to the wilderness, then goes to Jordan to do something particular. Now, we said on Sunday that the essence of going on Wednesday, the essence of going back to Jordan was like a refresher course, to remind them of where they were coming from and what God will really what do. So, is that a promise? Is that a promise? So can we say John took them to Jordan to remind them of the promise? Beautiful. Follow, please. So John will go to Jordan and we will be showing them that what? God is about to do something new. God is about to do something new. So in the real sense, that's something new that God is about to do. Is that what the people of the, is that what the prophets prophesied about? Did the prophets prophesy about something new God will do? So what is John doing? John is bringing to their consciousness or a reminder that what the promise of God about the something new he will do is about to happen. Are we together? So it means that you, when you see Jordan, you see Jordan as a second chance away from Egypt. Can we say a second chance for deliverance? Pointer to deliverance that will come with the promised resurrected king. Don't lose track, okay? Don't lose track. So go back a little. We started today. Who gave birth to Jesus? Mary, a woman. Are we together? Is that theological? Is that theological? Do you think that would be theological? What would be the theology behind that? The patriarchy. What does it mean? Let me be sure that's what I'm looking for. Male-dominated environment. Patriarchy, right? Now, did Moses have that influence in his writing? Are we together? Why do you suppose you don't know the history of who Cain married? After Eve, how many women did they mention again? Who was the next woman you mentioned in Moses' writing? After Eve. Let's assume you are correct. After Eve, you don't say anybody about who Cain married. You don't say anybody about who Noah married. You just see Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. Are we together? Did you say Lamech knew sister, then gave birth to brother? You don't see that? So even in the writings of Moses, there is a patriarchy slant that was involved. So what do you suppose God wants to do? God wants to disabuse our minds from what you call patriarchy. And what? He does a miraculous work by allowing a woman without the influence of a man's seed to give birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world. That's theology. Ideally, so think about it this way. Ideally, in the patriarchy, is that a word? Patriarchy. Patriarch. In that world that is male dominated, are you here? In that world that is male dominated, what would have, you know, you would have paid attention to Joseph, the father of Jesus, if Joseph had slept with Mary to give birth to Jesus. And you know, Mary might not have been in the scene at all. Are we together? So in the plan of the redemption, God has a plan to restore and to reestablish or to reinstate the state of a woman. Woman who would have been relegated. It brings in a woman to play a vital role in the resurrection that supplies redemption. Are we together? So can we say that is God breaking traditions? Can we say that is God breaking ideologies? Are we together? So it means that the birth of Jesus by Mary alone is not to ridicule or invalidate the need of sex between a married man and his wife. Do you get that? The goal of that is not to invalidate the conversation of sex between a married man and his wife, but to show that God's plan is to reinstate the place of a woman in the new image of his son, which is Jesus Christ. Are we here? So can we see a woman played a vital role? Is that a functional role? Is that a function? So Mary had a functional role to play in the plan of the resurrection. So as I would tell you, a virgin shall what? A virgin shall what? Conceive. Look at Galatians 4. Look at Galatians chapter 4. A virgin shall conceive. That's God's plan. That's God's plan to reinstate the place of a woman. See, if Mary had not done what she did, or if that miracle does not happen through Mary, are we together? You know, we will still have relegated women in the place. And that's why he says some churches don't allow women to preach. Are we together? Some churches don't allow women to be pastors.
Why? Because women are supposed to be the ones cooking jollof rice at the back of the conference. Then serve for everyone. Are we together? But in case you miss that point in the incarnation, you should not miss the point in the incarnation, in the resurrection, that the first person that Jesus appeared to was a woman. Are we together? Are we together? Let's assume you miss it. No, it's just a miracle, just a miracle. God wants to show that he can do and do. Yeah? Don't miss it. Jesus had given instruction that his disciples should meet him in where? Galilee. Bible tells you that Jesus appeared to a woman first and told the woman. Why did he just wait for all of them to meet in Galilee? So the first preacher of the resurrection, he's alive, was a... That is doctrinal. If you miss the incarnation, don't miss this one. So he tells a woman to go and tell his men. You know, in those days, the words of women don't carry weight. It's not like today, right now, you see a woman in the law court. Yeah, and men are saying, my law. In those days, the words of women... So what it means is that if you say you said something, there must be a man to corroborate what you said, to confirm what you said, before we believe what you said is true. That's what you hear me say. The only solution to the so-called feminism fight we are fighting is only found in the gospel. I can assure you for free. If you like, do International Women's Day, Local Women's Day, Foreign Women's Day, Overseas Women's Day, if Christ is not the center of that unity to bring equality to man, it cannot work. Man doesn't have the power to reinstate what culture over the years has done. Are we here? It's only the gospel. It's only the gospel. The best we will see is just a few people just take up a few positions, but it's retained. Think about it now. Think about the rate at which the world is going. If I ask you a question, in what year do you think that you can say we have 190 something countries now in the world, right? What year do you think that we will have out of 190 countries, we have 90 presidents as women? A fellow sister there says, forget about it. When do you think that you will say 90 countries out of 190 countries? You say it's small, small. The small, small, they've been starting from 1918, I'll be 18 something. Today, we still have, how many do we have maybe four? Abi, maybe Finland? Even Liberia, say, has she not left? Can I say how we're thinking of, you see, say how we're thinking. Except Christ is the foundation for that restoration, it cannot. Man doesn't have the ability to do it. So what the world needs is the message of the gospel. That's why we use all platforms that we can to propagate God's good news. God's good news of the victory over sin and death. It is only in Christ that an ideal man, or it's only in Christ that that man will see the unity that God supplies in the resurrection. The goal of the resurrection is to supply equality to both genders. Are we together? Are we together? This is what I mean. If it will take mankind 1,000 years before you can have 90 presidents that are female, in Christ and proper teaching, it can happen in 10 years. How many of us will be here in the next 1,000 years? I know the thing is not even getting better. You know it's not getting better. You and I know. Let's stop lying to ourselves. We know. Why? Christ has to be the foundation to bring that unity back. So if you miss the incarnation, look at Galatians 4:4. If you miss the incarnation of a woman miraculously giving birth to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, without having the seed of a man, don't miss the resurrection. Galatians 4:4.
Look at Galatians 4:3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his what? His son, made of a woman, made under the law, to what? Redeem them that were under the law, that we might what? Receive adoptions as what? Sons. Are we together? That's why when you now go to chapter 5, he now tells you in 24, and they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. Or the previous verse rather. So before you had read Galatians 4:4, you must have read Galatians 3:26. Are you there? Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by what? Does that include female and male? Does that include female and male? So is a male more child of God, or is a male more of a child of God than a woman? So look at it in verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Male and female? Beautiful. There is neither what? Jew nor Greek. What you call Israelite or Gentiles. Are we here? There is neither what? Bond nor free. That is master or slave. There is neither what? Male nor female. For ye are all what? One in Christ Jesus. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the limit of this world, but when the fullness of time was come, hallelujah, Christ now brings that what? Redemption, to supply the equality amongst men. Are we together? Are we together? So even in Moses' writing, you see it's a male-dominated conversation. Praise God. Praise God. Do you see serious genealogy? Praise Jesus. Now, look at Matthew 1. Let me show you something quickly in Matthew 1. We're looking at the name of what? Name of Jesus. What is the name of Jesus about? What is the name of Jesus about? What do names mean, or what are the implications of names? Are we there? Look at Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was what? She was what? Found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Is that what you read in Galatians 4? Made of a woman? Okay. Look at 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Are we together? Ideally, what should have happened? Come and see, oh, everybody come out, oh. You know what I mean? Everybody come out, oh. I have not, to God who made me. To God, Mary, answer for yourself. Have I seen you? Have we been behind the door before together? Even the closest we have been is in the temple. And others were there. You are pregnant. Where do you go from now? From here? Did Joseph do that? Thank God for a man like Joseph. All together. Because a man my want to prove this word, eh? A man might want to prove and go all out to prove that she is sleeping up and down. See, I told you, I said there was something not right. Why is she coming back late? Said her boss gave her more work. Which work? Can she work from home? Because COVID has opened your eye. But Bible tells you that Joseph took her secretly. Now, so what happens next? Can you do that? He's asking for himself. Can you do that? Okay, let me ask you a question. All of us, all of you that know Ashi, you've read the Bible. You know it's only Mary that will be the miraculous. So imagine you are in that position.
What if there's a promise in the Bible you've not seen? After all, John Baptist said, is it the one we're waiting for? Or there's another? What if you are the husband of the another? This is noisy. Is this to read in 3 verses?
He took out privately. What a man. It's noisy.
Look at 20, what we're going to.
He says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the dream, saying, what? Joseph, thou son of what? David. Fear not to take unto Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the what? Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. For he shall what? Save his people from their... So, that name Jesus, does it have a function? What is the function? Save the people from their...
So, Jesus, the name Jesus there is not just an absolute name that is sweet. Remember, people in that time, I said it before, in history shows that people in that time, people already bearing that name. Are we here? Let's look at an example now. The name Jesus in the Hebrew is the word what? Yeshua. Yeah, the name Jesus in the Hebrew is the word Yeshua. That's the word you call Joshua in English. So Yeshua is Joshua, right, in English. So Jesus is equal to Yeshua, is equal to what? Joshua. All together. Now, the word there, Yeshua, right, we see the function as what? He shall what? Save his people from their sins. So, if that is the function, it means that Joshua had to do with rescuing people. Are we here? Now, you know, another overall interpretation of the word Jesus is salvation is come. Are we together? I mean, he can just replace that with what you just see there as he shall save his people from their sins. He now tells you in 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, check your Bible, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a what? Son. Are we together? Unto us a child is, and a son is beautiful. So, a virgin shall be with a child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name what? What is the function? God with us. Are you learning something? So names will usually come with what? Functional conversations, or come with functions. So his name will be Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. So God with us is a function of the name Emmanuel. Shall save his people from sins is a function of the name what? Jesus. Which is what? Yeshua. Which is what? Joshua. Now, let me give you a more in-depth understanding of the word there, Yeshua, or the word you call save his people from sin. Now, it's a word that has two folds. Now, the two folds of that word means to deliver from, to bring into. Please write what I'm saying. To deliver from, to bring into. To take from, to lead into. Are we together? To take from and to what? Bring into. To deliver from and to what? Bring into. So, when we say Jesus Christ is the Savior of his people, can we say to rescue from bondage and bring into where? Salvation, which is the promised land. Are we here? Delivers from, or rescues from, and brings into. Right, so, did Joshua lead them into Canaan? Are we together? He rescued, brought them from, led them forth, and brought them into. Was that a function of what, who will do? Jesus. Are we here? Yeah, so Jesus is the Joshua that delivers people from the bondage of sin and death into the promised land, which is the promised land. Are we here? Are we going to? Praise Jesus. Are we together?
Are we together? So Joshua, who led them into the land, is a pointer to the function of Jesus, who will bring us into what? His land. What you call the promised land, which is Canaan, which is a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. So it means that the name Jesus, the name Emmanuel, were names given with a function according to the promise. Please write that down, important as well. The name Jesus, the name Emmanuel, were names given to given with a function according to the promise. All together. Now, back to Jordan. John goes to River Jordan. What does Malachi call John? The messenger. Are we here? What you call the forerunner, who goes ahead? What does Malachi call Jesus? Messenger of the covenant. There are two different too. John is the messenger of the messenger of the covenant. Are we together? So John takes them to Jordan as a people, right? So it means that in that action, he is a messenger, and his action has a message. And what is his message about? What the messenger of the covenant will what? Do. What will the messenger of the covenant do? The messenger of the covenant will be the Joshua who will rescue people from sin, bondage of sin and death, and bring them into the promise of God. So remember, I said something. This is Egypt. Everyone look at me. This is Egypt. This is the Red Sea. This is the promised land. The promised land they've come into that Joshua led them into. They were there, but without the promise. So what does John do? John takes them from that their promised land back to where, or an example of where they are coming from, which is Jordan, are we together, to give them a refresher course of deliverance and to point their attention to what Jesus will do as the promise of the Father. So, can we say John is taking them out of the promised land to show them that that is not the promised land? Are we here? John is taking them out of the promised land to show them that that is not the promised land. So, John is the messenger of the messenger of the covenant. So, John in his message will take them through a refresher course as how deliverance was done and show them what the messenger of the covenant will do. Now, the messenger, listen to me everyone, the messenger of the covenant, can we say he is the messenger of the new covenant? Can we call him the messenger of the new covenant? Are we here? So he is the messenger of the new covenant. That means John is the messenger of the messenger of the new covenant. So it means that John will point their attention to the messenger of the new covenant who will do something. If you are asleep, you say hallelujah. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. So he is the messenger of the messenger of the covenant. What is the covenant about? Can we say the covenant is about the promise made to the fathers? Are we here? I will. I am the Lord that will. Are we together? So, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we started explaining I am that I am. Right? I am that I am. We spoke about the God of the fathers, which is equal to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of who? Jacob. Right? And what is the promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? The land. Are we together? Land will be the covenant. Are we here? So the land God promised Abraham is the land of the new covenant, which the messenger of the covenant will lead us into, as his name being Joshua. Are we here? So we change our series. This one, everybody's looking at me as if I'm doing this thing. Praise God. Praise God. So, what is the message of John
in the river of Jordan.
What's his message of John in the river of Jordan?
Repents, for the what? Kingdom of God is at hand. What's the kingdom about? Kingdom of God about?
The messenger of the covenant will lead them into the promised land, or will lead them to cross Jordan.
Praise Jesus.
So you see, John begins to baptize them, you know, showing them a refresher of how they were baptized into Moses, for instance, baptized by the water, or they went through water. So that's why Jesus will now say, I baptize with water, but he that is coming is greater than I, whose sandal I cannot lose. He shall baptize with what? The Holy Ghost. So the water will be a pointer to what Jesus will do by the what? Holy Ghost. That is, you'll be an in identification with.
Praise Jesus. Look at Matthew 3.
Matthew 3, 13. You are there, say I'm there. You're not there, say I'm not there.
Are you there?
Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to where? Unto who? To be what? To be baptized. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to baptize of thee, and thou comest to me? Verse 7, 15. Jesus answered and said unto him, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all what? Righteousness. Then he what? He suffered. So what is Jesus saying? So all will be fulfilled. I must be baptized by you. Are we together? Now look at verse 16. Right? What does John now do? Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the... And lo, the heavens were what? Unto what? Him. And he saw the what?
So the heaven of God was open unto who?
Unto who? See it well, lo. See it well, dear saints. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw. And he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and lightning upon him.
It's John now.
The heavens were open unto who?
If you say the heavens were open unto Jesus, then so we now say, and the heavens were open unto Jesus, and Jesus now saw the Spirit of God descending upon a dove, descending like a dove and lightning upon him. But was Jesus seeing the dove and lightning upon John? Dear saints, are you in church?
Okay, in your genuine heart of hearts, who is that heaven open unto?
Because I said it.
Look at it now. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God. The heavens were open, and he saw. Who saw in that encounter? It's John now.
Wait, what translation are you using?
It cannot be King James. That is Queen James. Look at it again. And Jesus, when he... Look at it. Then he suffered him. Now, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him.
Okay. So what you are trying to see.
The heavens were opened upon Jesus.
Who saw and recorded? So is it just Jesus that is recording?
Think about it this way now. Imagine I'm Jesus, for instance, and I came out of the water and said, lo, the heavens were open upon me. And I saw. No, if it is I saw, it's different. And I saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and light upon me.
That we are in Sokoto, the kind of Meduguri. Don't know, there's no fuel.
How do we come back home? We use public transport. See, and Jesus, when he was baptized, he went all straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened. So if we say the heavens were opened, right, who is writing this encounter? It's not Jesus. Are we together? So it's John that saw. Right, John saw the Spirit of the Lord descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So can we say that John is foreseeing the resurrection? Altogether. So this is my beloved son, is John foreseeing the what? The resurrection. For God so loved the world that he gave. Right? So he's foreseeing that in the resurrection. So it means that John will put Jesus in the water, and as Jesus is coming out, he's seeing what? Resurrection. Praise God. So John is saying, this is the Joshua that will lead them through water into the what? Promised land. All together. So Jesus is giving a name that bears his function. What's the function? He saves, he rescues, he brings out of and brings into. Don't forget, you know, the conversation of land started from Genesis. Remember that? Garden of Eden, land. I would say Garden of Eden is about what? It's about what? Garden of Eden, heart. Eh? Garden of Eden. We said the word there, garden, is a word that speaks of an enclosed. What is Eden? Pleasure. Is that the same land God promised? So, what did God promise the believers? Garden of Eden. Where the tree of life is planted. Are we here? That's what we're doing, series back to back. Yeah? That's why we're doing series to follow them. Sister Esther, why are you laughing? We're doing series to... Sister Esther knows everything worldly. She's the one that teaches me. Worldly things. Things of this world. If you want to just know anything that is happening in the world. But she also knows things happening in the world. That's where she's smiling now. So the garden will speak about his presence. We speak about his land that he promised to Abraham. Are we together? So, why do you suppose the promise to Abraham was a land? It is because God will communicate to men in what? Human language. In Abraham's time, it is about, they were agrarians. They were into agriculture. So, they will understand better as a land, expense of land. When they came to David, did he use land for David? What did he use for David? What did he use for David? In David's conversation, you begin to see the use of shepherd, sheep. But away from that, kingdom. Altogether. So, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit. That's what will happen in the resurrection. In the real sense, the land given to Abraham is for people to come in that they are part of God's kingdom. So, what you see as land to Abraham, you see it as kingdom to David. In the epistles, what do you see it as? His spirit. Are we together? So what they will write as land, it is his spirit. What you write as kingdom, is what? His spirit. So the epistles will give you a final explanation and tell you, oh, this is about what? The spirit of God. Hallelujah. So as it became closer to fulfillment, you know, the land, you realize that the land... Right? The land will be equal to the kingdom and will be equal to what? God's spirit in the earth. Now look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Are you in Jeremiah 31? Look at verse 31. Are you there? So what it says now. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. He says, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a what? A new covenant with the what? House of Israel and with the house of Judah. I'm going to explain something quickly now. Don't lose what I'm about to say. He now says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I what? Took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of where? Which my covenant they what? They break. Although I was an husband unto them, says the Lord. Let's read 33 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their inward, what? I will what? Write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. 34 now says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the what? Least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will for what? Forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Now, when the Bible tells you, say, I will tell you that I will remember their sins no more, what is he just saying? He's just saying, I will not take into their account their sins. It's not like God will have amnesia and now say, I will not take into account their sins, or their sins will not be taken into account. Praise Jesus. Now, hold on. What is God going to establish in Jeremiah 31:31? A what? New covenant. Is this Matthew? Did Jeremiah read the book of Matthew? Did Jeremiah read Ephesians? So where is Jeremiah reading from? Writings of Moses by extension. Now, let's look at the word there, new. The word there, new, is the Hebrew word kadash. Kadash. C-H-A-D-A-S-H. I want to give you a better understanding of the word here, new. You know, sometimes you will think that the word here, new, is something that is what? Abstractly new. So, for instance, you say, I bought a new car. You didn't have the car before, right? You just bought a new car. So, we use that mindset to revisit what the new covenant is. Now, the word here, new, is the word here, kadash. Let me show you where the word is used. The exact word kadash. Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 10. Kadash, Psalm 51, verse 10. Kadosh Abba. Blessed is he who comes. Look at Psalm 51. Are you there? Verse 10. What does it say? Create in me a what? A clean heart, O God, and renew a what? What word there is the word kadash? What word is the word kadash there? Renew. Right? So, that means the new covenant is about a renewal. Are we here? So, I renew a right spirit within me. Look at Psalm 103, verse 5. Who satisfied thy mouth with what? Psalm 103, verse 5, quickly. Psalm 103, verse 5, quickly. Who satisfied their mind with what? With good things. So that thy what? Is what? Renewed. That's the word kadash. Like the what? Eagles. Look at Isaiah 61:4. Isaiah chapter 61. Is forward from Psalm. Is forward. Psalm 6, Isaiah 61, verse 4. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall what? Repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. What's the word kadash there? Repair. Right? So what's the word kadash? Renew. Repair. Go back to Jeremiah 31. So we've seen the word kadash as what? Renew and repair. So when he says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant. Is that kadash? So can we say the word there, kadash, we deal with a repair? Renew? Can we say restore? Can we say rebuild? So is the new covenant something from the abstract or something that is reestablished? Are you here? Are you here? So the new covenant will be, so the word there, new, is a word that speaks to restore, to rebuild, to repair, to restore. To restore what? Something that was broken. Something that was broken. So it means that the word new covenant is a restorative term. Are you here? The word new covenant is a restorative term as against a what? Initiative term. What I mean initiative? I mean starting from the blue. So you would have thought that all the things they were doing, God did not have any plan. All of a sudden, God just decided that, they've broken this covenant, so let me now reinstate, or let me now what?
create a new. Let me give you an instance. Imagine you have a car system, right? And your car, let's say you now pimp your car. You know what it means to pimp your car, right? Right, to tushen it up. You change the plate number, change the tire, repaint it, paint it, and everything. Now, if you brought your car here, right, on this Sunday, next week you now bring your car repimped or pimped, right? That word there, new, is what we use for our car, which is what? Wow, sister only brought a new car. Is it new in the sense of she didn't have it before? It is new in the sense that she was repaired, restored, revamped, rebuilt the car. But if sister only doesn't have a car today, and next Sunday she comes with the car, what do we say? After you brought a car. But some of us, we add what? New car. Who told you it was new? Grandma, it's not that deep. But you can say she brought a new car when she brings a new car she did not have, or when she brings a car she has repaired. So the new covenant is a what? Car that is being repaired. So it means that the new covenant that God is about to is establishing is a restorative term. So what is God doing? God is saying that by the resurrection, in the redemption, he's going to restore things that were broken. All together. He's going to restore things that were broken. Remember, if you look at verse 32, Jeremiah 31, 32, he says, "With my covenant, they what? You are dead." Check your Bible. Jeremiah 31, 32. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them out of the hand of land of Egypt, with my covenant, they what? They broke." So the new covenant that is to be established is a restorative term. It's restorative. So it means that to know the implication, we have to find out what is being renewed. All together. So it means that God's plan from the time, or from time, is what you call the dear saints. God's plan from time has always been the new covenant. So God did not have two covenants that when they disobeyed one or rejected one, he now brought on the second. No, the plan has always been the first. Are we together? Then they broke it. Then his plan was to restore, reinitiate, revamp, and not totally replace or eradicate, then bring a new one. So, where do we find the teaching of the new covenant? What you call the Old Testament books. You see why we say we don't refer to those books as Old Testament books? Because they are as much the word of God as Ephesians is. Are we together? So, can we say old covenant and new covenant will refer to people and their hearts? So, the old will refer to those who what now? Those who do not believe, which Jeremiah 31, 32 tells you they broke. Is that a people? So what will be the new covenant about? That one now tells you in verse 33. Look at it. It says, "This covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law in their what? In their inward parts. That is what? Righteous in their heart." So it means that old covenant and new covenant is dependent on people. Or they are people related. Did you hear that? Look at Numbers 13, verse 14. Look at Numbers 13. So let's quickly see Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Numbers 14, verse 1. If you read verse 13, you'll see the background story. And now the congregation in verse 1, Numbers 14, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against who? Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore had the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by this sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to what?
verse 5, Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the creation of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is what? An exceeding good land. He says, if the land light, if the Lord delights in us, then he will what? Bring us into the land. Is that the same land he has promised from time? Which is what he called the new covenant, beautiful, right? So to bring it into the land and give it to us, a land which what? Floweth with what? Milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye people of the land, that they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But the congregation stoned them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. The Lord said unto Moses, how long will my people what? Provoke me, and how long will they will it be there that they believe me? Not believe me. For all the signs which I have showed amongst them, I will smite them with pestilence and descend. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou brought us the people. Look at verse 20. He now tells you verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Right? Pardon, I beseech thee. Verse 19. Or look at verse 18. The Lord is what? So in the midst of all of that, Moses reaffirms that the Lord is what? Long suffering and of what? Great mercy, forgiving. Is that a new covenant? Is that a new covenant? Forgiving iniquity and what? Transgression. And by no means clearing the guilt, visiting the iniquity of the fathers up unto the children unto the what? Third generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of these people appearing unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven these people from Egypt even unto now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned. Right? So is that what God does in the new covenant? To pardon, to forgive, to separate you from your sins? Are we together? So the promise of the land has been from Genesis. So the promise of the new covenant has been from where? Genesis. What is the new covenant? God's spirit. Remember, it says, I will write my law in their hearts. Look at how Ezekiel writes. Look at Ezekiel quickly. So when Jeremiah would say they broke the covenant, would that be referring to people in Numbers? Numbers people, right? People of Numbers we just read. Now look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36:23. We're looking at the name of Jesus. We're trying to lay a foundation. Amen. I hope you know we are laying a foundation. Praise God. Everything about our Christian faith is all foundational. All together. Look at Ezekiel 36, verse 23. Let's read this quickly. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned amongst the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the what? Lord, says the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Verse 24, for I will take you from amongst the what? And what? Gather you out in all countries. I will bring you into your own. Is that the same land of the new covenant? Is that the land of the new covenant? Are you reading your Bibles? 25. Then I will what? So in that land, there will be a sprinkling of what? That is what? And it shall be what? Can sprinkle water make you clean? How many of you, before you came to church this morning, you sprinkle water on your body? You washed your body, right? So it means that the sprinkling of clean water to make you clean is figurative. Are we together? And that's the way we should take the concept of water baptism. You know, there are different types of water baptism. By immersion and by what? Sprinkling. Where somebody will put aloe vera leaf or something like that and tap inside water. No, your father? No, so you have been baptized. Another one will do what? Immersion. Both you in immersion and you with sprinkling. You're all in the same what? Telegram group. It's not WhatsApp, it's Telegram. Because, you know, Telegram can accommodate thousands of people. WhatsApp is 256. Hallelujah. Right? So he says that I'll sprinkle clean water on you from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. What does really sprinkling of clean water mean in verse 26? A what? A new heart. So is the new heart about the new covenant? A people that will have a heart will be people referred to the new covenant. So from time, God has expected that people should be found found in a new covenant, and it should be determined based on what? Their heart, what their heart says. So whole covenant will be what? A people and their heart, and how they broke a covenant, or how they stayed away or disobeyed. All together. So a new heart also will I give you, and a what? So what is the new heart? Check your Bibles now, dear saints. What is the new heart? The new spirit. So the new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of what? 27, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to what? Walk in my status, and ye shall keep my judgment and what? Do them. And ye shall dwell in the what? So, is the land about the new heart? The land, is it about the new heart? Is it about the new spirit? Is it about the new covenant? Are we together? So the new covenant is about the new heart, that is the giving of the spirit to people that will be in the new covenant. So, wait, where are we reading new covenant from now? Ezekiel? Did Ezekiel read Ephesians? Did Ezekiel read Philippians? Beautiful. So he says, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall what? Be my people, and you shall be my what? And I will be your what? Your God. And I will save you from your uncleanness. Verse 29. Praise Jesus. So it means that the promise of the new covenant has been the promise of God from time. That's important to note. The promise of the new covenant has been the promise of God from time, which is the promise of the new heart, that is the promise of the new spirit, which is the promise of God's land. So the new covenant is about the heart of the people. Ezekiel just breaks it down for you. So that land is about the heart of a people, a new heart, which is what? The spirit. So can we say the new covenant is about renewing? What other word again? Reinstate or renew or restore or repair what the hearts of people had shifted from. I was together. So you see, we can find a new covenant in the old covenant books, what you call the Old Testament books. Are we together? So Jesus is the messenger of the new covenant, and his message is that what? God wants to give a new heart, that is a new spirit, which is his land. Are we here? Look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Are you there? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers what? Is it Deuteronomy? And thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy. Now look at verse 6. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy. Is that a new covenant? The Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. Is that a new covenant? Where is that found? Deuteronomy. So the Lord will circumcise their heart. So circumcise their heart, is it to give a new heart, which is a new spirit, right? And the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy what? With all thy what? And with all thy soul, that thou mayest what? Live. Tayar. Are we together? So the new covenant is about the spirit of God. The new covenant is about the heritage that the saints receive. So Jesus bears Joshua to show us something, that this is the time of the fulfillment of the faithful God's promise, or the promise that the faithful God gave. Are we together? So when you see a virgin shall conceive, Isaiah by prophecy will speak about it. When you see that virgin finally conceive, what do you see? The fulfillment is about to begin. What is the fulfillment about? To reinstall, to repair, to rebuild, to reinstate. Which is to what? To give man a new heart, to remove his stony heart, and to give man the heart of flesh. So Jesus is the Joshua that will cross the Jordan and take us into the promised land. Are we together? So what is the land about? To David is to be the kingdom, which will be God's spirit to the epistles. So it means that the land that God promised cannot be physical. Remember, John brought them out of their physical land to show them that is not the land. Are we here? God brought them out to show them that, John rather brought them out. You see, it's interesting to know that actually right now in Jerusalem we have more Muslims than Christians. So the land cannot be physical. Yeah, we have more Muslims than Christians. They need the word of God. They need to be saved. You know that there's some Jewish guys that don't want to hear the name Paul from your lips. Are we together? So it means that the promised land
which is the Jerusalem that God promised, is what? Spiritual. We have come unto what? Mount Zion, the city of the what? The heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn. So it means we have come into God's reinstalled covenant. Have we come into God's restated covenant? Have we come into God's repaired covenant? So we are people with a new heart. Say, I have a new heart. Say, I have a new spirit. So Ezekiel now tells us that the new heart is about the new spirit, which is the fact that God forgives iniquity. Are we together? So God sprinkles clean water on us. See, only God has the ability to sprinkle water on you and make you clean. Are we together? How does he sprinkle water on you? He sprinkles water on you by what? Taking out your filth and separating you from your sins as far as the east is from the west. It takes out your sins. So the believer is not in association with sins. Do believers fall short? Yes. But God has given the believer his spirit, and by that, he is totally away from sins. What does that mean? It means that the repercussion for sin has been handled in the resurrection. So God gives you his spirit as the proof. Say, I have God's spirit as the proof of God's work. So, I'll close here. It means that historical signs and sights are pointers and not what? The destination or the reality. Write that down. Historical points and signs, historical signs and cities or sites, so to say, are pointers. We've seen Canaan as a pointer to the promised land. We've seen Jordan as a pointer to what Jesus will do in the resurrection. So, whilst those signs and sites will have messages, the truth is that they point to the messenger of the new covenant, that is our leader that brings us to that heavenly destination. So Jesus has brought us to the heavenly destination of God. So we are where God has always wanted us to be. Hallelujah. We are where God has always wanted man to be, which is in his new Jerusalem, in his heavenly Jerusalem. We're in God's land that is filled with milk and honey. Hallelujah. We're in God's land that is filled with milk and honey. We're in God's land where the water has been sprinkled on us and our sins are what taken away from us. We have a new heart. We have his spirit. We have his ability. We have his power. So when we say the name of Jesus, what do we mean? We are speaking about the functional work he has done. You know, we started saying something. The name of a man is associated with his work, reputation, or his work. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So when we say the name of Jesus, it means we have to remind ourselves of what? What God promised to do. What did God promise to do? What did God promise to do? What has God promised to do? What is God doing? That's what his name is about. His functional work. Hallelujah. His functional work. Praise God. Praise God. So it means that if you don't know what his work is about, you can't know what his name is about. Are you here? If you don't know what his work is about, you really can't know what his name is about, because you can't separate his work from his promise and from his name. His name is about his promise and his work. So can we say God's name is what we see in his promise, and God's promise is what we see in his what? In his name. God's name is what we see in the promise, and God's name is what we see in the promise, rather, and God's promise is what we have or we see fulfilled in the name. So when we say the name of Jesus, can we say God promises and keeps to his promise? What is his promise? His promise is that I will deliver you from a land and bring you into a land. I will do the work of Joshua that will supply deliverance, take you out of sin, the bondage of sin and death. And what? Put you into his kingdom of his marvelous light. To put you into his land that is filled with milk and honey. To put you into the land where when his water sprinkles on you or is sprinkled on you, you are a new creation. You have a new heart. You have a spirit. So the name of Jesus, can we say, reveals God's function in the earth? So when the Bible says, go in my name, what does that mean? It means take his accomplishment. Are we here? Take his reputation and supply the message of that reputation to mankind. For anyone that believes is associated with his reputation. Are we here?
So the name of Jesus is not just a chant. Hallelujah. Yeah, the name of Jesus is not just a chant.
That's what I was saying last week. You can cast out demons in the authority of Jesus without mentioning the name Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. I'm closing, okay?
So it means that when we say the name of Jesus is the name Joshua, that is the one that will save his people. Are we here? Listen to me, everyone. It means you cannot kill in the name of Jesus.
Are we together?
So die in the name of Jesus is a contradiction to the function of his name. Why? Because what is the name of Jesus? The name Yeshua, which is that God what? Saves, God delivers from and brings into. So you can't kill in the name of... So everybody who has prayed in the name of Jesus and the people died is not Jesus that answered. Why? Because the name Jesus deals with his function, his reputation, and what he does. So if what he does or what he is to do is to save, he can't kill, or you can't kill with his name. So I can tell you for free, anybody who has prayed for someone to die in the name of Jesus and the person died is either coincidental, are we here, or the person had a power you don't know about. But that is Jesus that answered, it is away from the conversation. You can't pray in the name. Look at it. I command you to die in the name of the Lord that saves. Ridiculous, right? Ridiculous, right? I command you to die in the name of the Lord that saves and delivers. Huh. Does it make any sense? The name of Jesus is about the function. What is the function? To save man from his sins, to save men from sins. So you cannot kill in the name of the Lord that saves. Hallelujah. So are there people who try to kill in the name of the Lord that saves? Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the name of Jesus is not just about the mention.
It's interesting to know that Jesus did not mention his name to his disciples. But he what? He explained his name to his disciples.
He didn't mention his name. He explained it. That's why you see the consistency in all the writings of the four Gospels. They have a conversation about the name. Luke 24 will tell you, right? 24:44. These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things were fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in writing of the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Right? He said, it is written, thus it behove Christ to suffer these things and to rise on the what? The third day. That repentance and what? Remission of sins should be preached alongside his name. Or repentance and remission should be preached as the function of his name. John 20:31. That ye might what? Know that Jesus is the Christ and believe. And that by believing, you might have life through his name. Matthew 28:18. Go ye therefore, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It says, go ye therefore and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. That is, let them associate themselves with the reputation of Jesus. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded. Lo, I'm with you always into the end of the world. Mark 16 now tells you, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. He that believes is saved. He that does not believe is condemned. It says, in my name, this sign shall what? Follow. That what? Believe. We've looked at signs and wonders in our last seminar. Are we together? So the name of Jesus is about a functional role he will play. What is the function? He will save people from what? Their sins and bring them into what? An inheritance. So what is your inheritance in the land of God's inheritance? His spirit. Bow your heads and talk in tongues for a while.